Welcome to Let's Talk Land, our weekly land talk show devoted to learning about land and farms, buying and selling, and ownership, especially for real estate agents and realtors. Learn from the experts. Free land education. Hi, my name's Lou Jewell. I'm an accredited land consultant with United Country Real Estate Sutton Properties, our new company name, along with my co-host, Teresa Martin. Hey, Teresa.
Hello, Lou.
Teresa's one of our agents. Buying and selling homes and land or farms in Western Piedmont, North Carolina, or Southern Virginia, just give us a shout. We'll help you out. Our new office is at 102 East Main Street next to BB&T Bank in downtown Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. Please make a note of our changes. Our new company website is www.allsuttonproperties, that's A-L-L-S-U-T-T-O-N properties.com. Just a program note, Dr. Barbie's Ask the Doctor show will now follow this show and will air at 10 a.m., so make sure you stay tuned. Dr. Barbie always has something good to say. Always learn. Hey, our guest today is Steve Broxas, founder and CEO of Farm Land Finder in the state of Iowa. Welcome, Stephen.
Hey, Lou. Glad to be on the show.
Actually, welcome back. This is your third show. You hold the record of having the most shows on our Let's Talk Land program, because I think what you're doing out there is one of the most interesting things that we talk about on a weekly basis. Just a little background. Stephen is the founder and CEO of Farmland Finder, working to make farmland information easily and accessible, and you're really doing a great job of that, probably the best out there, at least I can tell. Growing up on fifth-generation family farm, graduating from Iowa State University and serving as a national FFA officer. What's FFA, Stephen?
Future Farmers of America.
Absolutely. What a great organization. I'd love to, if you have somebody in that organization, do a show on that, because that's a nationwide program. It'd be fun to talk about. They've got quite a history.
And some really strong student leaders as well, so it'd be fun to talk with anyone who puts on that blue corduroy jacket.
See if you can find somebody and bring them on. You can co-host with us, okay?
That'd be a great show.
And then you'll have your fourth show, Stephen. You'll be ahead, light years ahead of everyone else. So from a land auction that sparked an idea of quickly growing startup, Farmland Finder is making it easier to find information when buying or selling or valuing land. Just a little of your background. Farmland Finder makes it easy for farmland professionals to gain market intelligence and manage data. With a data suite of tools, landowners and farmland professionals can quickly find information to help make decisions when buying and selling or analyzing land. Headquartered in Des Moines, Iowa, Farmland Finder is on a mission to make land sales simple, instant, and online for more information. And we'll repeat this several times, Stephen, but your website is very simple. farmlandfinder.com. So if you're listening, you got access to your cell phone or iPad or something, you might want to go there. It's an incredible site, and congratulations. Now, how long has your site been up, Stephen?
Yeah, we've been live for about 3 years, and it's been a fun 3 years, and it feels like we're just getting started.
How many states are you covering at this point?
So we have a dedicated team of research professionals that are tracking farmland sales right now across the broader Corn Belt. So we have full coverage for 12 states across the Midwest. So anyone looking to see what land is currently for sale on the market, if folks are looking for auction results or past sale transaction records, they can find all that information on Farmland Finder throughout the Midwest and the 12-state footprint here.
What are the 12 states?
Oh, you're going to test my geography, Lou.
We've got it.
Iowa, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri, Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, and Ohio. So anywhere, I know there's a big dispute here in the Midwest of which states are in the Midwest. Or, you know, is Ohio Midwest? Is it not? Is North Dakota Midwest? Is it not? And so we've decided to settle a dispute and say, hey, these 12 states, anything that's considered at all potentially considered the Midwest, will track farmland sales and provide that information for folks.
So, you know, you've got some of the old line land websites out there. you know, your Lands of America, Land Watch, Land Finder, Land Flip, and so on. How does your site differ? What's different in yours than the I wouldn't call them competitors because I think you're doing something unique.
Yeah, thanks, Lou. Appreciate that. Well, when we look at the landscape itself, you know, all of those sites you listed off are traditional listing websites. And so how they work is, you know, a broker or auctioneer will pay for to get exposure to their listing or their upcoming auction on those websites. And so they have to pay. They have to submit all that information manually so that they get the additional exposure. Whereas we flip that model on its head. We say, hey, we're going to do this for free. We're going to do this without requiring the broker or the auctioneer to submit their information manually. So there's no additional work. And we're going to operate like a search engine. So when you go on Google and you have a question and you want to find out, hey, who's playing in the football game on Friday night? You go to Google and type it in. And what Google does is they have a technology that searches all these different websites and pulls that together so that when you submit a query, it'll give you a short list of results that match what you're looking for. And we use a similar technology and a similar process, except exclusively on farmland. So we have a database of more than 3,000 brokerage firms, auction houses, attorney websites that we have a search engine technology that's going out, finding the information that's relevant so that when someone searches it and finds it on Farmland Finder, it pulls that information up right away. So that is really easy to find. So, you know, one of our really big goals at Farmland Finder is to make farmland information accessible so that people can find more information about the market, you know, especially if they don't live close to the property or they're an absentee landowner or just not familiar with the area. So we operate quite differently than a traditional listing website. But because of that, we're able to provide access to a lot more listings and a lot more auctions than any one of those individuals.
But you also have some overlays that the others don't too, right? Soils maps.
We look at, you know, are a very data-driven company. You know, back in the summer of 2015, I was at a farmland auction with my dad up in the home area. And the property in northwest Iowa, a prime tillable farm ground at the time, that farm sold for $16,400 an acre. And so it was a huge sale, and the auctioneer had taken a picture of the property from the side of the road with his phone and blown that up on a big poster and then just shared verbally a little bit of information about the property but started bidding. And it was really interesting to me because at that moment in time, this is one of the biggest purchasing decisions in the life of the farmers in our home community, and there's very little access to information about what is this property truly worth or how does it benchmark against other properties in the area. And so all of that has kind of filtered into, you know, Farmland Finder, and today we have numerous layers of information. We have satellite imagery, so you can see a picture, you know, from the sky of what that property looks like. We have soil maps, so you can actually see what the individual soil types are in different parts of the property. We have a crop history map, so you can actually go back and see what were the five previous years of crop history and crop rotation. Currently in the pipeline, we're forming a partnership with another company to get historical satellite imagery and historical yield analysis, so you'll actually be able to see how has this property performed in the past, so you can have a higher level of confidence about that information. And then we provide a lot of different data points, such as rent prices, taxes, you know, what did land in the area, you know, sell for. And so, yeah, we try to bring a lot of data and a lot of information to that, to those properties, so that people are more well-educated and so they can make better decisions.
That's why I say you're the best of the best, because, like I said, the other sites are great for what they do, but you're really specializing for the investors, the farmers, and bringing them information that they would want to seek anyway, but have to go to other means to get that information. You're putting it all in one place. And
absolutely. Well, my favorite phrase from a farmer who's a client of ours, visits our website all the time. He called me one time, and I asked him, well, what's the favorite thing you like about Farmland Finder? And these are his exact words. He said, I like being nosy without being nosy.
Bingo. I like that.
He likes having access to information without having to be up in his neighbor's business to figure it out. And that's what we can provide for people who are looking to buy or sell farmland.
So the reason I wanted to get you back on today, because I like you a lot and I like what you're doing, Teresa and I do, is you're actually putting together some funding programs. You're raising or have raised a $3 million series of seed funding round with Cultivian?
Cultivian Sandbox.
Oh,
yes,
God.
Indeed.
Where you guys come up with these names? Sandbox.
It's a mouthful.
I hear you. You're also participating with the Iowa Farm Bureau's Rural Vitality Fund and another Next Level Venture Capital Group. Tell me about that and how this got started. What's the purpose of the program? Is it something you've done before? Is this something new? Is this something you're going to do more of? Just tell us a little overview about it, because I'm really interested in what you're doing here.
Yeah, great question, Lou. Well, we just closed our $3 million seed round of funding. And what this does is, as a technology business, you know, it was probably 8 or 9 months ago, we started looking at what is the growth of our business? What are the next stages that we're working towards? And as we started looking at, you know, okay, here's where we're going. This is the growth that we're seeing. We started looking at, well, what other partners can help us get to those goals faster? What other partners can help us provide more information to more people across the industry? And that's where we went down this funding path, and we found some really solid partners. And what the program, what we did is we went out and found other people who believe in the same vision of the future of farmland real estate and a future where information is more readily accessible, and we partnered with them. So those three partners, Cultivian Sandbox, they're based out of Chicago, a really strong ag technology investor that has invested in a handful of different ag technology businesses and helped them grow and scale their businesses. You know, Iowa Farm Bureau's Rural Vitality Fund, they help not only invest in businesses that have potential to improve the livelihood of people in rural parts of the state of Iowa, but they bring that agriculture, deep agriculture roots, that farmer mentality, and really have an understanding of the boots on the ground knowledge of the market. And then Next Level Ventures is a Des Moines-based venture capital firm, and they're one of the best software investors in the state of Iowa. And so really, this funding is used to grow our business and to take the tools that we've developed, those digital tools that give people access to information, that give people access to data management tools, and start expanding. So right now, Lou, we're headquartered downtown Des Moines. We're using those funds to recruit and hire some staff members, so some support staff, some account managers and salespeople, and really just trying to get the word out about what it is that we're doing, and more specifically, how it can help farmland professionals grow their business and how it can help landowners make better decisions.
You know, people don't realize this, and this is just a stat I found, but each year about $56 billion of farmland exchanges ownership, and most of this is done entirely offline with very little access to the data and real-time information. And this is that group of money that you're seeking to follow and monitor and expose to help people make decisions. And I think that's incredible what you're doing.
Yeah, well, thanks, Lou. I appreciate it. And it is interesting when you look at the numbers, you know, in a day and an age where you can literally find everything with a few clicks on your smartphone, you know, or you can open up a bank account, or you can invest in the stock market, you know, to buy farmland or to invest in farmland. You know, it's very much not on the internet, or it's very much offline. And so, you know, we're trying to bring some additional online presence and access to information, increasing transparency in the marketplace, because when more people have access to higher quality information, we think that creates an opportunity for more people to buy land, more people to sell land. And one of our core values here at Farmland Finder is the tide rises, raises all ships. And by increasing access to information, we believe we can help everyone, lift everyone in the industry, and create a more fair and a more data-driven marketplace.
Our guest today is Steve Boxes, and this is Let's Talk Land.
So, Stephen, I see here that you grew up on a family farm. How did you go from there into starting a technological type of business?
Great question. Well, I grew up on a fifth-generation family dairy farm, so every day after school, my brothers and I would feed the calves, watch for heat, milk cows on the weekends, you know, get out of school in the fall to help out in the field. And so, you know, very much a Midwestern farm kid upbringing. When I graduated high school, I went to Iowa State University, studied agriculture education and entrepreneurship. And while I was in school, I actually had the chance to take a year off of school and serve the national FFA organization as a national FFA officer. And that year was life-changing for me. And it opened up my eyes to the world of business and how entrepreneurs can actually help people through creating solutions in the marketplace. And so I'd met a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners traveling with FFA. So when I got back to school that next semester, decided I would intern with a technology startup because I wanted to learn, like, what does it take to start a business? I saw that these entrepreneurs took their values and their passions and then created a career out of that. And what was most compelling is those folks felt like they could truly create a difference or a positive impact in the world through starting their own business. And so that was really attractive. I wanted to be able to do the same thing. And so I started gathering around me the right people, the right experiences that would help shape my understanding of what it takes to start a business. And so at that point in time, you know, you're looking at 2015, 2016, technology startups and technology businesses were really starting to fundamentally change different industries. Uber came out and completely disrupted the taxi industry. You started to see the wide proliferation of you know, Facebook and Twitter being used by political leaders and being used by celebrities. And it was exciting to see how helpful some of these technologies can be. And when I looked in the farmland space, there was virtually no technology. There was some companies coming out for in-season production on farms, but there was nothing coming out to help the actual transaction of land itself. And so from that process, started talking with other professors at Iowa State University, got plugged into some business programs through the University of Iowa, through Iowa Farm Bureau and American Farm Bureau, and just starting to learn how do you take an idea and turn that into a business that has potential to help hundreds and thousands and millions of people. And so it's been a long journey, and there's still a lot of things that I need to learn and my team needs to learn, but that part of the process is all really, really enjoyable. And it sure beats milking cows, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I've milked some cows. I know about that.
We had 600 head, my grandfather, so probably not as big an operation as you, but
wow.
When I was growing up.
When I was a kid, we were milking 80 cows. In high school, we were milking 300 cows. And today at the farm, they're milking 600 cows. And so throughout my entire life, we've been growing the herd. You know, my grandpa, uncle, father, grandma are all full-time on the farm. But also, as the herd's grown, our family's had more of a need to either buy or rent farmland to produce more feed for our growing herd. And so, you know, a lot of the problems that we set out to solve at Farmland Finder are deeply tied to experiences that I experienced personally growing up on the farm.
So you went from there to coming up with Farmland Finder.
Yeah, so really the process itself, there's a couple of monumental moments that shaped my mind and have influenced the ethos and the values of the business. One of them is that auction that I went to with my dad back in the summer of 2015. It just really struck me as odd that, you know, in a day and age where you can find information about anything online, and the most unique things online, you know, farmland, is really difficult to actually find information. So that was really one pivotal moment. Another one actually just happened back in January my dad called me and said, hey, you know, dairy's been tough for a few years, and we're feeling pressure from the bank. We're up against our lending limit, and the bank says we need to either sell some farmland or we need to sell some cows. And even the fact that my dad had talked about selling anything from the dairy business was startling. And I realized that, you know, someone who's in that situation, like my family's farm was, and like I think now as we're seeing on-farm incomes, you know, being almost 20-year lows, I think there's other families and other farms that are in that boat. You know, they don't have a great way to, one, understand what the value of their farm is, but two, just sell a little bit of land if they need to, whether it's 60 acres, 80 acres. You know, and I know my dad called me because he said, hey, I know you do a lot with farmland finders, you find a lot of buyers of farmland. He said, we'd like to be able to sell it and rent it back from like an investor, but we don't want to alarm the neighbors. We don't want to alarm everyone, have everyone be all up in our business. We just want to keep on farming, you know, business as usual. And so in that situation, you know, we're trying to figure out as a business and as farmland finder, you know, is there a way we can help a farmer just like that? Is there a way that, you know, we can use this platform to help my family, to help our neighbors, to help other farmers, you know, and landowners across the Midwest and across the country? So there's been a lot of different moments, but it all really, as you look at how does it actually start and how do you create a business? For me in college, I was tracking farmland auction results and land sales on an Excel spreadsheet. And I started selling that spreadsheet to some appraisers and to some brokers in the area because they had a need. And so it's all about finding what's a problem in the marketplace, where are people being underserved, and can you create something that actually provides value, that actually solves some of those problems, whether it's getting access to information, whether it's helping someone get connected with a buyer to sell their land, you know, whether it's just giving people more confidence when putting a bid in on a property. So it's been a long journey and a lot of lessons learned along the way.
So what can you find out when you go to Farmland Finder? What type of information can you get there?
You know, the biggest piece of information that clients find valuable is being able to, one, get a high-level overview of what the market's doing. So what's the average listing price in North Central Minnesota? Or what's the average auction result price in Southeast Missouri?
So you can get comparables,
not
basically.
Only from that high level, the most important, they can drill down to an individual property and generate a report, and it'll show them all the layers of data and information that we have been able to pull together in a one easy-to-access packet. So they can see the satellite imagery, the soil map, a plat map, a topography map. They can see that property individually and some nearby sales. So they can see how does this property benchmark and compare to other properties that are in that area. They can see the regional land values and get some cash rent price information as well. And so it's a really interesting tool that we find landowners are using it. We find brokers and auctioneers love it because it gives them access to information and the ability to create a report very quickly while they're on the phone with someone. There's also a tool that's called Landowner Search. And this tool, you can go in, type in someone's name, and it will pull up the properties that they own. So if you're on the phone with John Smith of Western Kansas, and he's looking at buying or selling a farm, you can type in his name, it'll pull up the property, and you can get a report on it in three clicks. Yes, there's just a lot of information, and technology gives people the ability to do things more efficiently and quicker than what they might have been able to do before. So anyone who is helping to buy or looking to sell or value farmland can benefit from some of the data and some of the tools that we have at Farmland Finder.
See, Teresa, so, you know, when we're getting an assignment for the client, we use the CMA, we use the MLS.
Right.
You know, we put in the criteria.
Right.
But that's only real estate sales through local realtors, okay? Where they're going and they're pulling other information. They're pulling auction results. They're pulling closings from attorneys or through the register of deeds. So now, you know, we may be searching something and come up with maybe five comparables. Well, he may come up on his site coming up at 10 or 12. And better comparables because of the criteria searches that he puts in. When are you coming to North Carolina and Virginia?
That's exactly what my next question was.
Get on over here, Steve.
12 states. We got a few more.
Well, you always do a good job of not letting me off the hook on that.
Nope.
You know, with this round of funding that we just completed, we're using that to grow the business. And so right now, like I said, we have full coverage across 12 states in the Midwest. We're using this for the next 12 months. The focus is how do we increase our business right here in the Midwest, right in our backyard. But then as we look further than 12 months out, then the next path is how do we expand this so we have full coverage across the United States. And so we've already identified a handful of regions from the Delta to part of, you know, actually the Carolinas to Texas to the West Coast and the North, or to the East Coast and in the Northwest. You know, we've started to prioritize our expansion plans for late 2020 and into 2021. So, yeah, we're really excited about the value that people are getting here in the Midwest. We want to do that, do right by those folks and keep on providing more value. But we do have a vision that this is something that will scale across the entire United States, North Carolina included, as well as potentially some other countries as well as we look at where other people are buying and selling land in Australia, in Argentina, in South America, in Canada. And so this company being a technology company focusing on farmland, there's farmland all over the world. And we get really excited about the prospect of being able to increase access to information and help people all over the world through what we're doing at Farmland Finder.
You could also expand this into other, like timberland, right, too?
Absolutely. When we look at our platform, the data that you can get, you can see what land is for sale or past sale transactions for anything classified as quote-unquote agricultural real estate. So that includes, right now, tillable farm ground, timber ground, which sometimes is just timber, sometimes it's recreational ground.
Right.
We have pasture land and then range and ranch land. And so those are kind of the different buckets of categories that you could literally go on Farmland Finder, click a drop-down menu, and set your filter on timberland. And now all of a sudden you can see every piece of timber property that's for sale across the Midwest or that's recently sold in the area. And so the biggest value, you know, go back to, you know, what how does it really help people? It just gives you more contextual information about the properties that you're trying to get information for.
Well, as land brokers, obviously, we know what you're doing. And that's why we wanted to share it with as many folks as we can and encourage you to expand your territory as quickly as you can. So,
yeah, I appreciate that.
How long did it take you to come up with? This sounds like a lot of work. It didn't just appear.
Yeah, great question. Well, I remember, so I journal quite a bit, and I made a journal entry, and it was in January of 2015. And at that point, I was brainstorming business ideas. I was traveling on the road. I had just got done meeting a business owner, and I thought, man, there's got to be an idea that I could turn into a business. And so there was one that I actually had it written in my notebook. It said land.com, which now is a different listing website. But the concept was pulling this information together and making it easy for people to find. Now, this was just one idea out of a list of literally over 100 ideas. And then from there, it wasn't until almost a year later when I took my first entrepreneurship class at Iowa State University, and they challenged you to create a bugs list. And I encourage anyone out there, and brokers and auctioneers, you can do this too, is write down a list of everything that bugs you. You'll make a list real quick of a lot of things that bother you or that bug you. And then what this professor, Kevin Kimley at Iowa State, had us do was start putting those bugs into buckets, so which bugs are similar, and then go start sharing those bugs and those themes with different people who you think have also experienced those bugs. And so once you have that list pulled together, you go talk to folks. And if you find a lot of people who have the same idea, there might be an opportunity to create a solution that squashes that bug, that solves the problem. And that's exactly what we've been doing at Farmland Finder for the past 3 years. We created the company in 2016, launched our first product in 2017, and now we've been expanding our footprint from one state to 12 states here in the beginning of 2019. So we've had quite a lot of growth and a lot of learning that's happened as we've continued to identify pain points and bugs that people have and do our best to squash them.
Our guest today is Stephen Brockes. This is Let's Talk Land.
Stephen, so you had your aha moment. You squashed bugs and you started Farmland Finder. So now...
You mean squash bugs.
That's what he said. He said All right. Squashed bugs. So I'm thinking about where this is going moving forward. So do you see any demographic changes happening in the future that will affect how people buy and sell land?
You know, one of the most interesting things about the time we live in currently is that there's more absentee landowners than at any point in the history of the United States, and there's going to be more of those in the future. We're starting to see this really interesting shift where there's a separation now of who owns the underlying asset of farmland itself and who's operating it. You know, and that's why we see more land rented today. Almost 40% of all farmland in the United States is rented out. And this shift means that more people live further away from the land that they own. More people are disconnected from that farmland than at any point in history. And we think that creates a really large opportunity to be able to help those folks. If someone doesn't have boots on the ground data or boots on the ground information, how are they going to know how to make good decisions, whether to sell the farm or whether to rent it out? And so I think that is one really big shift in the market that will fundamentally alter how farmers interact with farmland, how farmers, the methods and the financing and the structure of their businesses as they look to produce more, you know, more crops on more acres. I think it just changes a lot of the industry. And when you look at that specific shift itself, I think there's another shift that a lot of people aren't talking about, but we always like to highlight because it's a really important shift, is last year, 25% of all farmland was purchased by investors, either individual investors, like a father-son pair, or someone who inherited land, they're an absentee landowner, they wanted to get more acres because they really like the asset class itself, or institutional land investment firms and funds that institutionally invest in land to get returns for their shareholders. And so a lot of land last year was purchased by this investor type of person. However, today, less than 2% of farmland is owned by an institutional investor. So I think that's also a big shift that's coming. As we see, you know, today there's really small percentages owned, but a large interest in a lot of land being bought by those types of folks. And so when you think in the future, 10, 15, 20 years in the future, I think there's a lot more absentee landowners. I mean, there's a lot more individual and institutional investors who own the land. And I think farmland is treated and managed like an institutional asset class, you know, independently or separate of how it's being produced on top of it. So some really interesting changes, you know, like it or leave it. I think that's where this future is moving towards. And I think it's really exciting for young brokers, for young farmers, for folks that are investors who are wanting to get into the industry, because there'll be a lot of opportunity in the future.
So you just go over this again, because these are some very interesting stats. 40% of farmland right now is being rented. 25% of farmland is being purchased by investors, and only 2% is owned by institutions, but that's ever increasing because of the technology and the management skills of the Hertz Company and Farmers National, the ones, you know, the big guys that manage millions of acres of land, have built a comfort factor out there for those institutions. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, you're spot on, Lou. And those stats and numbers, those those are numbers that are kind of the reality of the situation that we're in. And I think a lot of land professionals, you know, auctioneers and brokers and appraisers, they can feel the shift in the market. I think a lot of people struggle at, you know, putting their thumb on, well, what does that mean for my business? What does that mean to me? And that's what we're trying to figure out as well, because as those numbers are true and as we're working to increase access to information in this market, you know, we see this all coming together. And having the way that people buy land or sell land or get information, or how brokers and auctioneers provide value in that new marketplace, we see it all being slightly different than what it's been in the past. So it's incredible to look at the numbers, and I think everyone feels this shift. It'll be really fun, and especially us as a technology-forward business, it'll be really fun to really learn, hey, how can we provide the most value as the shift is happening?
Let me ask you something, because we've done several shows, and we'll be doing a couple more, on carbon farming and carbon tree farms, peat moss carbon farming. We actually interviewed a company in Texas that's actually now brokering, buying and selling carbon credits. And is this something that you guys have got an eyeball on?
Yeah, well, Lou, you know, we're super focused on the farmland asset itself. And so that's really what the focus is. But as you take a step up, you know, whether it's carbon credits, whether it's water rights, you know, whether it's the soil biologics activity, and, you know, what it this, there's numerous layers of information and data that I believe in the future, like I said, will be monetized in some sort of way, and they'll be really valuable in the future. Something that we talk a lot about here in the Midwest is, what is the pedigree of the property that you're buying or that you're selling? And by that, I mean, and not only what's on the title, but how was that property produced? What were the farming practices? What were the historical yields? What is this entire profile of this property? Because in the future, as there's more information, as food is being traced from the individual farm all the way to the end consumer, you know, this data and this information will become really, really insightful and helpful when buying, when selling, when renting, when caring for and stewarding our land. And so, yeah, whether it's all those different layers of information, you know, or just one piece of data, in the future, it'll all be critical to making the best choices. And that's why at Farmland Finder, we create tools to capture that data, to share that data, to get insights from those types of data points.
Stephen, in your meetings with your staff and advisors, are you looking at weather patterns at all? Is that even important? Going back historically and seeing the changes?
Absolutely, and it's fun to think through, you know, different scenarios, and it's also daunting to think through different scenarios. You know, as you see, you know, the growing degree days shifting in the year, or you look at areas where the rainfall might be less in 30 years or 50 years, and the moisture won't be enough to support certain crops in different parts of the world. You know, there's some really large trends and shifts that I think none of this is overnight. Same with the data side of things, right? None of this is overnight where you get access to everything like that. But as everything progresses and as you're feeling those changes, you know, right now, you know, a lot of people that play in the market are trying to figure out, you know, these changes. One, what are they? Two, how does it affect me? And three, is there a way that we can grow or grow our business as these changes happen? So we're keeping our eyes on a lot of things. We really have, everyone on the team has a data-driven focus. But, yeah, the future is unknown, and it'll be interesting to see how things shake out.
Okay. I want to shift it just a little bit here. We recently interviewed some online auction companies, and we've started to see some auction companies that are doing that, and I'm wondering how that's going to compare. How do you feel like that's going to compare to on-site versus online auctions in the future?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Yeah, you look at every industry, across the world, and what impact has technology had in that specific industry? There's a quote by a big-time investor, a technology investor on the West Coast, and he says, "Software is eating the world." Yeah. And what he means by that is, these processes that historically you would do in person, historically were done manually, historically were done by hand, historically were done on site. A lot of that can be done in an online setting, and sometimes if it's done online, it can be done in an even better, unique format or in a way that's advantageous. So here in Iowa, for example, auctions, there's still a ton of in-person auctions where you're meeting up at the at the local town hall, or meeting up in a gym at a school, or meeting up somewhere and you pull people together. But there's also a few companies that are doing online auctions where you can bid online or in person. And there's just a small handful of companies that are doing online-only auctions, meaning that you go online and you bid. And what's really unique in that sense is kind of two things. A couple of things. One, if you're an absentee landowner, you don't live close to that property, or you're an investor buyer who doesn't live in the area that you're buying the farm, materially it doesn't make a difference if you're at the auction in person or if you're clicking a button online. And so I think as those demographic shifts start happening and we see the changes, I think there'll be more online activity when people are buying and selling farmland. But then the other side of the coin is in an online setting, there's some unique things that some companies are doing. There's one company, for example, that does online-only auctions, and all the bidders online, you can see the bids in real time, but they're all anonymous. So you don't know who's actually bidding if you're there. And what's really unique about that is, we've all heard the story about the auction where you walk into the room and everyone sits down getting ready, and then the existing tenant of the property goes and sits in the front of the room. And even though the property wasn't owned by that tenant, but that person's been farming it for a few years, it creates this emotional reaction by people in the neighborhood because they don't want to hurt the feelings of the tenant, who's their neighbor, whose children play with their children. They go to the same church, or they don't want to break this community up over farmland, or even families. Sometimes you hear of brothers and sisters who don't talk to each other anymore because of a dispute over the family farmland. In the online setting, I think there's some opportunities to take some of those things that are currently challenges that people experience that are really emotional, really real problems, and test some new formats, test some new models to make it a little bit easier for people, make it a little bit better. So I think online auctions, I think we'll see more of them in the future. I think we'll still see in-person auctions as well. But I think you'll also start to see, in addition to online auctions, different formats for people to buy and sell land in a digital online setting.
That's why it's important with all this data set that you're creating and others to give that precise information where a person can make decisions worldwide. Mm-hmm. And this is where we're going. Yep. This is what Teresa and I are seeing on the shows we're doing from the different aspects about land. It's really fascinating. And it's accelerating at a very quick pace. Teresa?
Stephen, given the fact that software and technology is changing so many industries, how do you think software and technology will be changing the farmland industry?
That's a great question. I think one, and we're seeing this today, is there's simply more access to information. Any market that has gotten more access to information, it starts to empower the individual buyers and sellers and squeeze the margins of anyone else that provides value in those transactions. Online stock market exchanges where I could actually go to a website right now and I could buy stock in Apple or stock in Tesla. Before I would have to go through, a financial advisor, a broker who would have a connection that could help make things happen. But now, as an individual, I can go do that right now from my phone, and I have the ability to make those choices myself. I think in the future, technology, one, there'll be more landowners individually will be more empowered in the farmland space. While at the same time, I think farmland professionals themselves will be wielded with more information and with more tools so that they can provide ultimately more value in the future. The broker of the future, the farm manager of the future is going to be that number one trusted consultant to those landowners that's helping them make sense and helping them execute their plan and what they're trying to do, instead of being the person that's holding on to the information and is treated as the smart expert in the room. It'll be more of a trusted advisor, a trusted consultant helping do that process. I think the other really big way that we see technology changing things is today the farmland asset class itself is fairly illiquid, meaning it takes on average several months to either buy or sell a property. And with the ease of use of technology and how it can automate parts of the process, I can envision a future where farmland transactions can be done digitally, can be done online, can be packaged with financing and an automated appraisal and title work, and have that be done essentially in a few clicks, in a few hours. And in that world where transactions happen way more quickly, when there's speed to the transactions, I think we'll see a lot different business models and a lot different groups of people being able to get in and out of the farmland real estate industry.
We did a show last year on paperless real estate transactions, and it's fascinating. It's exactly what you're talking about. This particular interview was more on the residential side, but it was lapping over to land. A question for you, Stephen. In your farmlandfinder.com website, are you using artificial intelligence at all or planning to?
Great question. So really, one, to define artificial intelligence or machine learning, the definition of that is essentially creating computer-based models that can learn and identify things on its own without human intervention. And for us on the team, we use some machine learning for our data cleaning and our data entry processes.
Okay.
And so what that does for us internally is it's an efficiency tool. It gives us the ability to take all of this data and start to make sense of it in an automated fashion. So in that way, we are using machine learning and artificial intelligence. But I think that's just the first step of, to train any models and create a machine learning algorithm that can help make decisions or help predict values, predict what land will sell at, or predict who in a neighborhood will put a bid in on a property. I think to start learning those things and actually having a high level of confidence in artificial intelligence, predicting those things, you need a lot of data.
Yeah.
And that's where we're just getting started. We're on the tip of the iceberg of gathering the data that we need in order to create some models to start predicting different things that will happen in the market.
So you were talking about having a trusted consultant earlier. What are some of the challenges that face landowners when buying and selling land?
One thing that really stood out to me on that day in 2015 when I was standing at the auction is looking around the room, seeing who was bidding on the property and just watching their faces. So there's two farmers that kept on bidding back and forth. And every time they put in a bid, their face would get red and flush. They'd turn to their banker in between the bid, take a deep breath, and then put in the next bid. And then it was actually earlier this year, I was talking to an absentee landowner who was looking for some help to sell their land because his dad had passed away from cancer And him and his brother inherited the property, and they were trying to find out, what do we do with this, and what might it be worth, and how do we sell it? And I started to realize that from that first experience watching landowners who were buying, getting red in the face, to talking with this absentee landowner who was choking up as he was telling me about his father's farmland that his dad just loved and cared for his entire life, I realized that when selling your land or when buying a property, it's often an emotional decision, especially if you're selling your land. You don't hear of a lot of farmland that's selling for a happy reason, right? Either someone's passed away, either something has happened on the farm and had to sell some land, either the farm is going under. There's not necessarily this joy in selling land because there's so much pride in it. There's so much history in it. And it's such a valuable asset.
Yeah, you can't even put a value on that.
What challenges do landowners have today? What are those pain points? The emotions around it are so deeply tied, especially when selling ground. And a lot of times, I feel like today, landowners, when they sell their land, most of the time, they're selling the land. It's the first time and only time in their entire lives they've done it, and it's really emotional. And so when you put both those things together, there's just a lot that of challenges they experience. They don't want to be taken advantage of. They want to make sure they're doing right by their land and by the people that used to own it. And it's just really hard. So I think those are some of the challenges. I think the good news is there's tools and services like what Farmland Finder provides that help give them some confidence and some peace of mind to separate, some hard fact and some data from the emotions. I think there's some really interesting business models coming out that help landowners sell their land on their own. I think there's really solid farmland consultants in the marketplace, some brokers, some farm managers, some appraisers, some auctioneers who can help steward these landowners through that kind of emotional time. But I think in the future, there'll be a lot more technology to aid in that process. And that's really what gets me excited, is being able to help real life people, make really big decisions using technology.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at my notes here, and it says that I'm trying to figure out how brokers are going to play into this. Are they going to be the consultant factor? I mean, are brokers using this technology, or is this for people? Are there different levels? Like, is it free to people? Or, like, I think what I'm trying to say is,
are you going to have a future?
No.
Real estate broker.
That is part of it. That does concern me. But like this platform, Farmland Finder, is it free? Are there different levels that you purchase, or how does that work?
Yeah, great question. So when we look at the tools that we offer, there's three layers to it. For free, anyone can go to our website, create a free account, and set up alerts so that they get an email notification anytime there's land for sale in their area. The second tier is some of those tools that we've talked about. We call them our market intelligence tools. Where landowners, where brokers, where appraisers, where ag lenders can pay a monthly subscription to get access to all of these layers of data, of auction results and land sales and landowner search and automated property reports and analysis of the market. And then we have kind of an enterprise tier that's called our data management tools. And what these data management tools are is a digital dashboard for serious land professionals, primarily farm management companies, ag lending institutions, and institutional land investment firms. They can import their comparable land sales, their proprietary data, their managed farms, their sales, and they can view that all in a clear dashboard that can be shared with their entire team and all of their team members. So imagine like a Google Maps with lots of dots on the map, where they can say, this property sold for this much, and here's the rental agreement tied to this property, and here's what land values are doing here, and here's a buyer that's interested in the next property we can get them. And so these data management tools create a system for teams to be able to store and manage and access map-based data. So those are our digital tools, and that's what we offer at Farmland Finder. Anyone can find those tools at farmlandfinder.com. But what those tools do is really give anyone who's buying, selling, valuing, or helping that process when it comes to land, and they can leverage technology so that in the future they'll continue to be able to provide value in the market.
Stephen, with just a couple more minutes left, wow, we've covered a lot of stuff today. What do you want to leave our listening audience with? We've got a couple more minutes here.
Yeah, you know, we've covered the whole gamut from A to Z. I think what's most exciting about the future of farmland, you know, is that, one, this asset class is our heritage. It's our history. It's what America was built upon. And I believe in the future, it'll be one of the most valuable asset classes in the world. And because of that fact alone, it deserves to be taken care of. And the people who steward it, the people who own it, deserve to be helped as much as possible. And so at Farmland Finder, we're really excited about helping those people, helping anyone who touches farmland. And if there's any way that you can think that we can help you, or if you have any questions, simply go to farmlandfinder.com. There's a chat service, a chat button in the bottom right-hand corner, and you'll be able to talk to me or one of our team members about how we might be able to help you. So this has been tremendous, and it's always exciting about talking about the future of farmland, and I really appreciate you for having me on.
Oh, no, it's been a pleasure. When are you coming to North Carolina and Virginia?
Well, like I said, next couple of years the company will be expanding. I personally would love to make a trip out sometime. It'd be great to come out there and shake your hand.
You're always welcome. And of course, you know, I met you through the Realtors Land Institute. We're the land brokers and the part of the National Association of Realtors, now to be 77 years old. And I'm sure you're going to be at our land conference coming up in March. I've already registered for it in San Antonio, Texas, end of March. We'll have about 300-400 land brokers and vendors like yourself. You know, we really appreciate your support to our organization and the other vendors out there. We've got such a unique family, and it's always a pleasure to see you and see the other folks, too. I'm sure you're coming, right?
Yes, absolutely. You'll see me there.
All right. So one more time, how do people get in touch with you?
Excellent. You can find us, simply Google Farmland Finder or go to www.farmlandfinder.com and check us out. We're on a mission to make farmland sales simple, instant, and online. And the more people that come to our site, the more people that reach out to us, the more people we can help. So check us out at farmlandfinder.com.
What's your phone number if someone wants to call you? Is that okay? And your email address?
Yeah, my email address is Stephen, S-T-E-V-E-N, at farmlandfinder.com. And so email is the best way of getting a hold of me because I'll get notified right away. And then happy to set up a phone call or a meeting with anyone who's got any questions about what we're doing.
So how many people do you have in your sales force? You're not doing all that by yourself, are you?
We've got a really strong team. We're a small team, lean and mean, but we're a team of 11. We're headquartered right downtown Des Moines. And with this funding round that we just closed, we're actually doubling the size of our team. And so we're bringing on some more salespeople, a few more support staff to continue to grow the business. And so we're really excited about all of the folks in the market that we've been able to help to date, and excited to help even more people in the future.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, if you're in one of those 12 states or have interest in one of those 12 states, Farmland Finder is your definite go-to site. We strongly recommend it. And I don't know anybody that's doing quality of work that you guys are in our industry, and I congratulate you for doing so. Rodney?
Yes, Lou?
What are you doing?
Nothing. Sitting here.
I can see that.
Sitting here. 2 minutes.
We got 2 minutes. All right, one more minute, Stephen. We can't get rid of you. We love you.
So, dead air.
We're the dead air. Say something. All right. Thank you for joining us today. Let us know how you like the show. If you have any guests or topics you'd like to suggest, we'd appreciate them. All questions are welcome, and all of our guests may be emailed with your questions or concerns as well. This show is for the public and, most importantly, for real estate agents who do not have a source for land education. All of our shows after broadcast today will be downloaded on www.letstalkland.net. That's letstalkland.net. It's also downloaded on Podbeam and Spotify. You may email me at lou@mylandpro.com. My cell number is 336-669-1405. Teresa, how do they get in touch with you?
You can email me at teresa.mylandpro@gmail.com, and my phone number is 336-209-2937.
All right. Rodney, how do they get us here at the station?
Well, then go to our website. Go to WKTE1090.com and click on our website there, and they can also download the Simple Radio app anywhere in the world and listen to us. Beach
Simple
and oldies.
Simple Radio app anywhere
right.
in the world.
Anywhere in the world.
Does it go to Mars?
Yes, it does.
Wow.
We'll soon find out when they land up there.
Yeah, I know. We got the new thing going now. Yeah. Get some money for that.
That's right.
And what kind of radio station are we?
Beach and oldies, and we only play happy music.
Only happy music,
right?
That's right.
That's correct.
And we, 5 years in a row?
5 years in a row, being the station of the year on the East Coast.
On the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Yes, it is.
And you got a nice award not too long ago.
Yes, I got the Reader's Choice Announcer Award for 2019.
Well, congratulations. Well deserved.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, let's listen to Dr. Barbie.